crowds moving into our musical comedy theater. A lively, fashionable flock of deferred first-nighters. This revival performance has a gala air. Some will remember that it was this musical comedy which starred the most brilliant team of light comedians the English stage has ever seen. George Grossmith Jr., Connie Edis, and that favorite pin-up girl of the postcard era, Phyllis Dare. For her, the late Paul Rubens wrote the music of the musical comedy You're Not Here, The Sunshine Girl. Lights dim, the house quiets, and the conductor beats in the orchestra for the overture. Curtain rises. From our programs, we learn that the scene of Act One is the factory yard of England Port Sunshine, a name that thinly disguises the location of a real life, the First World War. Today, the Port Sunshine employee Vernon Blundell, who has inherited the works from his father, is due to arrive. But there was a condition in the late Blundell's will. Mr. Vernon must put in 5 years of solid work in the factory, and during that time, he must not marry. If he does, he ceases to benefit under the will, and the entire inheritance will be shared among the employees. Delia Dale, the lovely young thing who works in the perfume department, is a great favorite with all the employees, but the one who loves her is little Mr. Vernon. And while everyone makes ready for the arrival of the son and heir, Delia listens while her sweetheart sings of his love.
There is a fever that you understand. You must take care when it is there. Doctors cannot take such cases in hand. Cupid declared this sort of thing contraband. Don't be nervous if you please. The symptoms are these. When you're lazy, all the world is may and mazy. Every little weed, a daisy, blew the sky above. Brain of reeling, are you on the floor or ceiling? When you have that kind of feeling, you may know it's love.
Comes along, life is as blank and everything goes all wrong. Call it by another name, it's not just the same. When you're grumpy, very, very dull and dumpy, terribly depressed, and humpy, let the sky above. One of the other wants to run away to mother when you simply hate each other. Then you know it's love.
Oh.
But how is Delia to know that this humble little Mr. Vernon is really none other than the son and heir himself? His true identity is divulged when Lord Vista, bachelorish young coxcomb, arrives at the works, sees Vernon, and exclaims, "By gad, if it isn't Blundell!" "Shh, Mrs. Vernon. No one must know that 5 months ago, instead of going abroad as I'd given out, I came here incognito and obtained employment as an ordinary hand in order to gain a better insight into the lives of the people whose welfare is now my solemn responsibility." And although those splendid democratic sentiments find approval with the audience, Lord Vista, or rather Bingo, as he's known to the backroom boys of Mayfair, is shocked to the marrow. And even more shocked when Vernon suggests Bingo should change places with him. Bingo will be introduced to the employees as Mr. Vernon Blundell, while the real Blundell will remain incognito so that he may continue his courtship of Delia Dale. And it's done. They shake hands on it, Bingo becomes Blundell. Being a bit of a dog with the ladies, it isn't long before he is using his authority to ingratiate himself with Delia Dale. "By Jove," he gasps, "you're an absolute ripper, an absolute darling, by gad."
Ladies, you have bought to rule us ever since the world began. Sometimes you are cold and haughty. Sometimes you are simply naughty. Look how easily you fool us, tantalizing every man. You will talk of clothes and cooking
till you think there's no one looking.
Dearest little lady, please allow me to remark, you'd be charming in all places, at the river, at the races, and absolutely perfect if I met you in the park. Too delicious in the grey light, in the shy light, or the twilight, quite delightful in the daylight, but a darling in the dark.
You wouldn't like me if you got to know me well.
I meant to love you blindly. Do not take the fact unkindly, ladies.
But it seems to strike me you are just a London swell. I'm afraid I must say no, sir.
Say it just a trifle slower. Yes, little lady. Please allow me to remark.
You'd be charming in all places, at the river, at the races.
You're absolutely perfect.
When you meet me in the park.
You are delicious in the grey light.
Oh, in the shy light.
Oh, the twilight.
Oh, quite a delightful in the daylight.
What a darling in the dark.
Broader humours are in the hands of Flut, an ex-four-wheel driver and his errant and boisterous wife, who prefers to use her maiden name, Brenda Blacker. When he first makes his appearance, Flut is engaged in a walking marathon from Land's End to John O'Groats. But footsore and penniless, he decides to call a halt at Port Sunshine, where he loses no time in making himself a favourite with the girls, and particularly in Mari, the head of the packing department. With Mari, he scores in a frisky duet, When the Ladies Have Their Way.
Man's no longer lord of all creation as he used to be. Mind you, got the housework done as soon as I get home to tea.
In the future, man as man is absolutely dead and gone. Women are going to wear the breeks when man has sewed the buttons on.
Ain't it wonderful to see what things are coming to?
I shall go and watch a game of football like you used to do.
I shall have to mind the kids and cook the food all day. But you must not swear if I've curried Willie's hair when the ladies have their own sweet way.
Lady magistrates, I think we'll shortly take the place of men. Just you mind what you're about, or you'll get into trouble then.
Off to Parkhurst you'll be sent before you know the why or how. Well, it was called Parkhurst. I suppose they'll call it Pankhurst now.
Ain't it wonderful to see coming to?
It's time you had a lady magistrate.
It's time I'll have to do.
For 6 weeks without the option, she'll put you away.
Well, if she's my wife, she'll put me in for life.
When we have the
And what a tale he pitches to the credulous Maori. Men have the worst of the bargain, he tells her. How'd you like to be a sailor, Maori? On a stormy night at sea, the wind howling, waves mountains high, pints and pints of water coming all over the decks, and the captain, he says, move that funnel nearer the bridge, I'm cold. Well, then they exit, clearing the stage for the entrance. Miss Delia Dale and her ardent swain Vernon Blundell, in his workman's blouse and the state of jitters, for he's seen Delia openly and outrageously flirting with his impersonator, Lord Bister. Oh, Delia, he bleats, how can you allow yourself to flirt with this Blundell, this rich man? I thought myself more fortunate. If I had only the chance of changing place with him, I would not have done so. But Delia is not to be won so easily, for she loves to flirt. The baggage, and says brazenly, why, it's just wonderful what an effect a little tiny touch will have on a man.
You should always try to look your very best. Men will be impressed
if you're nicely dressed.
Just a little touch will often be enough. A tiny touch of fun will be enough. Just in case young Lord Tom Naughty comes to call. Just a little teeny, teeny tiny touch. Not a bit too little, not a bit too much. Then be sure to say how well you look today. If it is only just a tiny touch. When you have to cross a rather muddy street, show an ankle neat,
just above 2 feet.
And above the ankle, let us something show, a little frill or so, enough to show,
just so,
that the farmer's not the only one who knows all about the charming art of fetching holes.
Just a little teeny, teeny tiny touch. Just a frilly frou, frou, not so very much. What they see of you, they'll frill them through and through. If it is only just a tiny touch.
Perhaps it wasn't a wise plan for Blundell and Bister to change places after all, for at the end of Act One, who should arrive on the scene but Lady Rosabel Merridew from the top drawer of London society and a threat to Blundell's deception, for Lady Rosabel is Lord Bister's fiancée. What if she should expose him? What will Delia Dale do when she finds that the real Mr. Blundell is the meek little Mr. Vernon of the packing department, her devoted admirer? But matters don't come to a head until the second act, when a ball is given to the whole staff in honour of the Port Sunshine Sun and Air. The local gentry are there, the directors, the rank and file, and a factory girl called Emmeline, who is gifted with a voice of unusual quality and has had no other part in the proceedings but to sing Mr. Paul Rubens' song success of 1909, Here's to Love and Laughter.
Wait until tomorrow.
to
But of all present at the ball, there is no finer advertisement for the beautifying properties of Sunshine Soap than Miss Delia Dale of the perfume department. Even Lady Mary, whose photo appears in the sketch in Tatler as frequently as the Sunshine Soap advertisements, is struck by the winsome charm of the girl. "Oh, do come and talk to me, Miss Delia," she says. "We look upon you as quite the belle of the ball, you know." "Oh, it's very kind of you," Delia lisps. "I don't think I've ever enjoyed myself so much before." They both agree that countrymen have so much more go in them than city bloods, and that nothing could be more dreadful than to find oneself alone with a dull man. Which prompts Delia to sing.
There lived a little lady once, so dull as she could be. She often feared she might go mad, so very dull was she. One day she met a gentleman, alas, he proved to be not only very dull indeed, but duller still than she. At last she tore her hair and cried in sheer a game of golf, take me for a walk, take me for a turn on the floor, or a tiny little talk. Take me for a ring if you think that the night is nice and cool. Take me to be just as shy as can be, but don't take me for sail in a yacht, 'cause I'd rather not. They sometimes went for walks to make each other bright and gay. One night she sang, and if the others see, what matter they? This he sadly turned aside, he could not stand the strain. He looked up in her face and said, "I think it's going to rain." Forgetting all her pride, the poor girl simply cried.
Take you for a walk.
Oh.
We'll take you for a turn on the floor, or a tiny little talk.
Nice.
We'll take you out to supper, and when we turn your busy head.
Oh, please ring the bell at my charming hotel and take me up to my mother, for she sits in
awe.
Lord Bister, or rather Bingo, is also having quite a time of it, and has at last become reconciled to his fiancée, Lady Rosabel Merridew, after a somewhat stormy engagement with the boisterous Brenda Blacker. But all is forgiven, and Rosabel is borne off by a young man who claims the next dance on her program, after promising to have the next one with her dear, dear Bingo. "I say," he says fervently, "we'll do the jelly wobble, shall we? Don't you know, old thing, when I dance the jelly wobble with you, I feel as if I was going to heaven." And left alone on the stage, Bingo entertains us with a number, "Little Girl, Mind How You Go."
When a man sees a maid and a maid sees a man, and they both of them say diddly discs, they may both meet again just as soon as they can. Well, it does seem a bit suspicious. Yes, it may be delicious, but still it's suspicious. There's also the danger, although he's quite a stranger. If he gets a chance and she gives him a dance, he may kiss her hand like this. Little girl, little girl, little girl, mind how you go. Beautiful fairy, you'd better be wary of lads you don't know. Every one of them wants to flirt. One or two kisses like that won't hurt. But oh, little girl, little girl, little girl, little girl, mind how you go. When a maid meets a man and a man meets a maid, and they often repeat that meeting, they may lunch, they may dine, but I'm rather afraid that they don't spend the whole time eating. Forgive me repeating, they can't both go on eating. They must stop for drinking or passing salt or thinking. And just now and then, whether women or men, they may find the light too bright. Oh, little girl, little girl, little girl, little girl, mind how you go. Supper is jolly, but possible folly, 12:30. Hello. Tuppenny tube is quick but slow. Taxi is quicker but... Oh, dear, no. So, little girl, little girl, little girl, little girl, mind how you go.
Although Flut, Brenda and Lady Rosabelle are aware of the true identity of little Mr. Vernon, Delia Dale suspects nothing. As far as she is concerned, Bingo is Blundell, and being human, it's only natural that she should be impressed when he tells her that he finds her frightfully fascinated. Hang it all, wouldn't it be topple if we could dance away to some southern clime? So they make believe that they're sailing away to the Argentine.
Wouldn't it be jolly if we took a little holiday away from here? Would you come with me, dear? Far away to sunny Mandalay, to stray or say Carangay.
Both of us together in a land of summer weather, with the sky of blue to smile with you. We might go to Montevideo, to Rome or Valparaiso.
That is, you'll see, if you love me. Then we might do a new step or two.
We might find some lazy dance, a slow dance, a easy dance.
If my step suits your step,
and your step suits mine,
we might do
a gay dance follows, which is interrupted by the entrance of Vernon, who wants to know frankly who Delia intends to marry, Bingo or himself, and is gratified to learn that even if she could marry the rich Mr. Blundell, she never would. She'd rather live in one of the little port sunshine cottages with a man she really loved. And just as Vernon is about to take her in his arms, in walks the family solicitor with the news that the court has decided that the late Blundell's will is invalid and that his son may marry as soon as he pleases without losing any part of his inheritance. So Vernon confesses to Delia that he's been masquerading as a workman just to prove that he could be loved for himself alone. And now Delia will be the wife of a billionaire. And on this happy note, the principals come down to the footlights for the finale.
Oh,
comes down and the audience moves out into the foyer, there is much talk and reminiscence of an earlier production of The Sunshine Girl, way back in 1912, and of those gifted people who gave so much sparkle and brilliance to the Australian stage. Then lights and memories fade, and another night ends in our musical comedy theater.